Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to be here tonight. Wonderful to see all of you. And we are going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness. For we know, O God, that it is only by thy mercy and thy grace that we can come before thee this night and worship thee. And I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. For we desire to be close to thee. Let thy presence be felt. Let us all reach out to thee and feel thy Spirit tonight, Lord. We ask for thy blessing to be upon this service. Let everything we do here this night be pleasing in thy sight. Let everything we do here this night be for thy glory. We ask, O God, that thou would preside over this entire service and bless what we do. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 11 in the chorus book tonight. Let's just praise the Lord. Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, it is so good to worship the Lord. We're going to turn now to number 64 and sing, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Number 64.
Within praise you, God. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to turn now to number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord, number 44. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn now to number 94 and sing Wherever I Am, I'll Praise Him. Whenever I Can, I'll Praise Him, number 94.
Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God.
Jesus. Praise God. Well, we are going to turn now to number 124 and sing The Garment of Praise, number 124. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, yes, it's a wonderful thing to magnify the name of the Lord. You know, that's something we all need to do. And Jesus said that if the people didn't do it, the rocks would cry out. God will be worshipped. Praise the Lord. And it is a privilege to worship Him. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 169 and sing, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. Number 169.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make Thy faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Praise the Lord. Everlasting to everlasting, thou art the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And you know what? It's such a joyful thing to be able to worship the Lord right now. But just imagine what it's going to be like when we are beholding Him face to face, and we're there rejoicing in the Lord, and the other saints are there rejoicing in the Lord, and the angels are there rejoicing in the Lord. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful thing. And we will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all Thy blessings. We thank Thee that we are able to be here, that we are able to worship Thee, that we are able to study Thy Word. We are so thankful for all that Thou hast given us. And I pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to guide this ministry by Thy mighty and gracious hand. Help us to know what to do, exactly how to do it, when to do it. And I pray, O God, that Thou would give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy name. For we know that these funds belong to Thee. We ask, O God, that Thou would lead us and direct us in all things. And we pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song, but before we do that, we have a few things that we should pray about. Diane did request prayer for she has some persistent swelling in her ankles and her legs that doesn't seem to want to go away, so we're going to pray about that. And I did get a text from Tori a little while ago, just before the service started, and she said that her knee is getting better, and that's good. That's wonderful. I believe the Lord is helping her, but we're going to pray for her again and pray that it gets completely better and soon. And also, my mother-in-law, Linda, she did undergo her first round of treatment for the cancer in her kidney today. I haven't heard yet how that went, but we're going to lift her up in prayer once again as well. So we're going to bring these things before the Lord right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night on behalf of Diane, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven. We pray, O God, that Thou would remove this swelling in her ankles and her legs. For we know, O God, that Thou art our healer. We know, O God, that Thou can do all things. We know that Thou art the Almighty God, a God without limitations, a God who can do the impossible. For we know that nothing is impossible with Thee. So we pray for Diane. We pray that Thy healing virtues would flow. Let her feel Thy touch right now.
even as we lift her up before thee. We pray, O God, for a complete healing, a complete deliverance, and not just for the swelling, but we pray, O God, that thou would completely heal her body, give her great strength, heal her arthritis, we pray. We ask, O God, that her blood sugar would be put under control by thy mighty hand. We pray, O God, that thou would completely restore her, completely heal her, for we know that this is not too hard for thee. We ask, O God, for thy healing touch right now, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also lift up Tori before thee, praying, O God, that thou would touch her as well. We thank thee for what thou hast done already, but we ask for complete healing, complete restoration of her knee. We ask, O God, that it would be made 100%, every whit whole. We ask, O God, that she would feel thy touch right now. Let thy healing virtues flow to her, Lord, as she reaches out in faith, believing on thee for this healing. We just ask, O God, that thou would touch her right now and bless her. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Linda before thee, praying, O God, that thou would completely deliver her from this cancer. We pray that if it be by medical means, that thou would guide the doctors, guide their hands, give them great wisdom on how to proceed in each and every way. Or we ask, O God, for a miraculous healing from thee, for we know, O God, that cancer is nothing that is too hard for thee. We just pray that thou would help her, strengthen her, guide her in all things. Lift her up, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Chuck before thee, praying, O God, that thou would completely heal his back. Or we pray that thou would completely remove any and all pain, restore full function of his back, we pray. Let him feel thy healing touch right now. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to bring those petitions before the Lord. And, you know, you do see answers to prayer. And it's kind of a strange thing, you know, with humans, when we do see answers to prayer, we're always a little bit surprised by that. But you know what? We shouldn't be. Because he is our healer. And if we just have the faith to believe it, he can heal all things. Praise God. Every infirmity can go at the name of Jesus Christ. For that is the name of Almighty God, creator of this universe. The same one who spoke this universe into existence. And if he can create all things in this universe, it's nothing too hard for him to heal our bodies. Praise God. Well, we are going to sing one more chorus before we turn this over to Shirley for the night. We're going to look at number 40 and sing, Great is the Lord. Number 40 in the chorus book. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has put on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, this faithful God that we serve. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Him in prayer right now and just ask Him to have His way here in this service here tonight. It's always good to be here. It's always good to sing His praises. I'll tell you what, something happens. When we really sing to the Lord, when we really praise Him with all of our hearts, something begins to happen, you know, and all these little cares, all these little worries, all these things of the world do begin to fade when we really turn our lives, our eyes on Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee again, Lord, for Thy wondrous goodness and the great mercy that Thou hast shown us, Lord, that You bestowed upon us. I pray, O God, Lord, that You would have Your way here in this service here tonight, Lord, that You give strength, Lord, that You give ability, Lord, O God, for we know that we could do nothing without You, Lord. And, O God, we know that we are but dust of this earth, but, Lord, You created us, oh, that we might worship You, Lord, that we might be Your children, Lord, that we might be redeemed, O Lord, and, O God, that we might show forth Your praise, O Lord, Thou who is truth. True and faithful, Lord. And, oh, God, there is none like Thee, Lord. There is none that can compare. Oh, God, we just thank You for this opportunity here tonight. And we pray that You'd move in our hearts, that You give us faith, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that You would give us, oh, Lord, those things that we have need of, Lord, that we ask of Thee, Lord, and some that we may not even know of, Lord. But Thou art so faithful, and Thou art so true, and Thou art so able, Lord. Oh, God, Thou art so merciful. And Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for this privilege that we have here, that we can gather here in this place, oh, God, to put our minds on Thee, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, against anything that would hinder, Lord. Oh, God, that our thoughts might be upon Thee, Thy word, Thy ways, God. Oh, God, let the devil have no place, Lord, in Jesus' name. But oh, I pray that Thou would be glorified, that Thou would be honored, oh Lord, that Thou would be pleased. Oh God, we just give this all to You in the name of Jesus, asking that You would meet the needs of Your people, that You would call, oh God, out tonight those that yet, oh God, need to give their lives to You, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that You give us that faith that we need, oh, that hope that we need in You, Jesus. Oh God, that desire to go upward, Lord, and to live for You, and oh God, to please Thee. Oh God, we ask all these things in Jesus' lovely name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message Faithful and True, and talking about the faithful aspects of God, and we know that, you know, it's very hard often to find people that are really faithful in this world that we live in today. In fact, just going quickly to the Proverbs, just Proverbs 24 verse here. Just think this verse has a good point that I want to bear out here. But if you go to Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse 6. It says, most men will proclaim, every one, his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? Oh, it's a question that was being asked here. You know, most people in their own hearts, you know, think they're pretty good. And, you know, you see all their pluses very often, but, you know, a lot of times people don't see the downsides and they don't see their negatives and you know, they don't, you know, they kind of ignore maybe some of that, just, you know, proclaiming their own goodness as this little verse says. But there's a question here, and, you know, if it was asked back then, I have a feeling it could easily be asked right now. It says, but a faithful man, who could find? Oh my, that could be pretty hard sometimes. We know we are so blessed to know a faithful Savior, a faithful one that has called us, and a faithful one that will do what He has said. And I'll tell you what, Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, we could just go there for a little bit here too, the third chapter, Lamentations, the third chapter. Lamentations, the third chapter. Verse 21. Here we know that Jeremiah was, as I believe we mentioned last week or the week before, he was going through a real battle in this lamentation that he wrote, because, you know, something that was very precious and dear to him, he was seeing, you know, horrendous things going on there in Jerusalem, in Judea at that point, as the Babylonians were coming in and plundering that place and taking over, and you know, people being carried off, people being killed, and, you know, all kinds of dreadful, horrendous things going on. But, you know, I love how in the midst of this lament that Jeremiah is able to lift up his heart to the Lord. You know, he's able to put his mind in a place after, you know, all the bitterness and all the other things, you know, it just seems that the Lord will just encourage him. And it says in verse 21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. And how we all need hope in this world, you know. We need hope to continue this life. But it says in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Oh, praise the Lord, he could realize that in the middle of this great trial. All the devastation that he was seeing on the right hand and on the left, but yet he realized, oh, it was of God's mercies that they were not all consumed. Oh, and he realized that God has compassion. And how he said, they're new every morning. God's compassion is new every morning. It's like God gives us a new start every day. His compassion's there. His love for us, you know, and allowing us to live another day, perhaps. You know, to give Him glory, to get things right, you know, to dwell on the good things of God. So he said, because His compassions fail not. Oh, God, who loves us so much, that He would continue to have compassion even when sometimes, oh my, many times, people are so undeserving, and we've all been there, those places where, oh my, we were in a deep rut, and, you know, oh, in a deep way, and maybe the spirit of complaint was upon us, and whatever all, and, you know, maybe we're just downright mean and ugly, and God knows all those things, but yet, that compassion that He had on us, that He would call us, oh, in our reckless, unworthy state, and bring us to Himself. Praise the Lord. And he says here, great is Thy faithfulness. Oh, a God who is so steadfast, a God who doesn't change, you know. He's not one way one day and completely different the next. You know, you don't have to worry about how He's going to wake up in the morning. Of course, He never slumbers asleep anyway. But, you know, we don't have to worry about that, because God is consistent. And He's very faithful. And the things that He has declared in His Word, they will come to pass. They have come to pass. Those things that are already in the making. And there's more to come. But, oh, the Lord is faithful. And those promises that He has given His children, oh, yes. they will come to pass. Oh, yes, His blessings are there if we could only truly realize them. Oh, yes, if we could completely embrace the promises of God. You know, we sang that song a little while ago, Bless the Lord, O my soul. I was thinking of this 103rd Psalm, those first few verses where, you know, the psalmist David was writing, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Oh, the things that He does, you know, even the breath that we breathe, you know, on the night's rest or whatever, all the mercies when we're going down the road, you know, and everything else when we could have tripped and fallen. And oh my, oh God knows all those things. And then verse 3 in this psalm, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Oh, praise the Lord, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Praise the Lord. You know, what a statement. But that's our God, that faithful God that we serve. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go now to the 89th Psalm. See how the Lord takes us through this. But oh yes, we just sang this song too. We just sang the first verse. But here it is, Psalms 89. The psalmist is writing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I love how it's not just, you know, not just for a moment, you know. We're just not singing here, you know, these 15 minutes here in church, this half an hour or whatever we have here to worship. But it says forever. I know Brother Samuel mentioned, you know, how good it is to praise Him now, but you do think of, oh yes, what it's going to be like, you know, when we get on the other side there before, yes, all the angels, and all those that have overcome, and they're in the presence of the Lord forever, and you know, we're going to sing of His mercies. Wow, we're grateful now, but just think what it's going to be like when we're there on the other side, and you know, we realize we made it. Oh, we made it, and there we are in God's presence, and nothing is going to move us. You know, nothing is going to hinder us. We're there, you know, we're in the Lord's presence in forever. And oh, how we're going to sing, you know, that song is going to come out of our mouth, that song of praise of His mercies. Oh, of the Lord's mercies forever. And the psalmist said, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Oh, yes, this wonderful, glorious news of the gospel is something that we could share. It's something that needs to be brought down to, yes, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, whoever all we meet, because it is so great, it is so wonderful, God's faithfulness. And we want to bring it, make it known to all generations. Oh, praise the Lord, you know, it's been going on for a while. There's been a remnant of God's people have realized how faithful our God is, how steadfast He is, how we can depend upon Him, how immovable, unshakable our God is. And then He says in verse 2, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Oh yes, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Oh yes, they are a witness to the majesty and the faithfulness of our God. Amen. It's established in the very heavens. And then verse 3 says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And I'll tell you what, you know, that might not always be understood. You know, it did come to a point where, you know, the kingdom of Judah, it came to an end. And you know what, you know, the kingdom of Israel also, they both had their ends. It was, but you know what? There was something that was continuous. Yes, that covenant that God swore unto David, his servant, he was going to keep saying, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Acts, the second chapter, here for a moment. We're going to look into Peter's wonderful sermon on the day of Pentecost just a bit here. So go here to Acts, the second chapter. And here, Peter is preaching under the anointing of God. And let's look at verse 22 to start here. It says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Oh, you see Peter's great boldness at this moment. And you know, the understanding that he has. This is something they didn't understand while Jesus walked with them. You know, they had such a hard time realizing that Jesus was actually going to die. You know, he was going to take up a cross and die. They really didn't get it. But you see now the Holy Ghost has come. Oh, yes, and Peter is a changed man. He is a bold man. And he is understanding, too. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Oh, you know, that body wasn't going to know corruption. It wasn't possible. Jesus had no sin. You know, his flesh could not be corruptible in that sense. So it wasn't possible that death should holden of him. And then it says in verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Oh, that prophecy that David gave in the 16th Psalm there, where he saw the Lord always before his face, and you know, knowing that the Lord was at his right hand and he would not be moved, and his heart was glad and his, you know, his glory rejoiced, and he knew that, you know, his soul was not going to be left in hell, but you know, neither was God going to allow his Holy One to see corruption. He prophesied there in the 16th Psalm. Oh, yes, it continues that Psalm in verse 28. It says, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Oh, that beautiful scripture, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Praise the Lord. Oh, the presence of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, when you feel his presence. And you know, we can't see him, but we know he's here in our very midst. Oh, that fullness of joy that fills our heart. Oh, praise the Lord. And David prophesied of that. Then he went on to say in verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being on the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, I praise God. Oh, they were pricked in their hearts after that, and that very important question was asked. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Of course, we know that Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, that wonderful message that he preached. But here, he clearly understood what had been declared back there in Psalms 89, that promise that had been given to David, that God swore unto him that of his seed he would raise up to sit on that throne, and it would be forever. And it was realized here that that seed was Jesus Christ. And oh, here he clearly declares it here. Oh, yes. Verse 29, where he says this, oh, let me freely speak of you, of this patriarch of David, this David, that he is both dead and buried, his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And Peter is realizing that, oh, yes, Jesus had now ascended into the heavens. Jesus was now sitting on that throne, oh, that everlasting kingdom, that kingdom of which there shall be no end, that Isaiah the prophet prophesied of there in Isaiah the 9th chapter. Oh, yes, that everlasting kingdom, oh, that kingdom that would be without an end was now established. Oh, yes, it was now began, and oh, yes, Christ had been resurrected. His soul was not left in the grave. It was not left in hell. His flesh had not seen corruption, but God had raised up Jesus. And of that, they were witnesses. Oh, yes, and at this point, he was at the right hand of God, exalted. And at this point that Peter was preaching, oh, yes, they had now received that promise of the Father, that gift of the Holy Ghost, which had been shed forth there on the day of Pentecost, which they could see and they could hear. Praise the Lord, for they were speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave them evidence. Oh, yes, oh, praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, yes, spoke through them. Yes, and they had that utterance that came from God. Amen. But back here in Psalms 89, we know that this prophetic utterance that was given here was established, that the covenant that was made with God's chosen, that he swore unto David, his servant, that he would establish his seed forever and build up thy throne to all generations, that it was established. And verse 5 goes on to declare, oh, how there are witnesses. It says in verse 5, in the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Oh, yes, the heavens are witness to the faithfulness of God, what he has said. And we know that, you know, he declared in the book of Hebrews that it was impossible. It was that God had sworn by his own self, actually, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. In other words, the things that God has declared, that he has uttered, they are sure. It tells us he in Hebrews 6 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, praise the Lord. whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, praise the Lord, the things that God says, you know, the immutability of his counsel. You can't deny it. He confirmed it with an oath. He couldn't swear by any greater, so he swore by himself, knowing that oath is the end of all strife back there under the old covenant. But oh yes, it was impossible for God to lie. These things which he has uttered, they are faithful. They are true. And it tells us here in Psalms 89, "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints." Oh, praise the Lord. We too, as the saints of the Most High God, can also bear witness to his great and wonderful faithfulness, of things that have been declared in his word. Oh, yes, that are undeniable, that we can stand on. Oh, yes, because they're established. They're on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, if we can, oh, yes, sing forth that praise because of that. It tells us in verse 6, "For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord?" Oh, there's nothing, there's no one that can be compared to the Lord. It says, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints." And it's talking about that respect that, oh, we give him because we know what an awesome God he we serve. We know he is the creator. He is the one that has established his word. And yes, we must live by it. We must hide it in our heart. We need his word. And he is to be respected. He is to be revered. He is to be feared in the assembly of the saints, it tells us. And to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Oh, yes, that respect that is due him. Oh, yes. It tells us in the 111th Psalm that reverend is his name. That's the name of God, you know. He's the one that we give that reverence to, Almighty God. Praise the Lord, for there is none like him. There is no other that can be compared to our God, O Lord of hosts. Verse 8, "Who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee?" This question was asked, where can you even find a faithful man? And there were some, you know, that were faithful. The third chapter of Hebrews says that Moses was faithful in all his house. And praise the Lord, that's a wonderful compliment. Indeed, you know, I don't think God could say that about just too many. But his faithfulness, oh, we're witness to the faithfulness of God. O Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? There is no faithfulness like the Lord's. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. And oh, you know, that was so literally fulfilled. Oh yes, we look at the fourth chapter of the book of Mark here just for a moment, and you know, here's this story. Oh yes, Jesus and his disciples had a ship, and they were going on over to the other side. And while they were on the ship, there was a great storm that arose, a great storm of wind, it tells us. And the waves beat into the ship. Oh yes, it was getting kind of wet in there. And it says, so now it was full. There was water in that boat. But where was Jesus? It tells us that he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was down there at the bottom, and he was asleep on a pillow. Oh yes, the waves are raging, the water was coming into the boat, but where is Jesus? He's down there in the bottom, and he's asleep on a pillow, it tells us. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And oh, if this doesn't prove that Jesus is God, then what does? "And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Oh, the Creator, God robed in flesh, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, who would come to save us from our sins? God up there. Oh, yes, and he just calmly rebuked that sea. He rebuked that wind and just said, peace be still. Praise the Lord, the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a difference it makes. You know, our God who speaks the word, and it is so. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They didn't get it yet, did they? I don't think they fully realized that Jesus was the creator of the universe. I don't know. It just wasn't quite real to them, I guess, at that moment. And they were afraid. They didn't quite realize the power, the authority that he had. But there he was, just calmly rebuking those waves, those winds. Oh, yes, all of that. It says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, yes, it was something to think about. Yes, I'm sure they never forgot it. And, oh, you know, I'm sure their understanding began to grow all the more. But here it was. That is, you know, that's exactly what it's talking about here in Psalms 89. Oh, yes, that was, you know, a utterance pertaining to what Jesus would do. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Oh, yes, and God can do that now. And, you know, we do call out to him, yes, when the storms are raging. And it could be, oh, storms of wind and waves and pestilence and whatever. Oh, but, you know, it could be things that are raging in our hearts and in our lives, too. Praise the Lord. We know the one who can just speak the words. Peace be still. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, the elements will have to submit to that one. Oh, yes, they will have to listen to the voice of the Creator, and they will do so. Yes. Oh, he knows how to still those things in our life. Oh, praise the Lord. He knows how to reverse, how to change, how to turn the things that are going wrong. Praise the Lord. He is God. Oh, all our contributions to God's great faithfulness to his people. It says in verse 10 here, Psalms 89, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. And here, the word Rahab is referring to actually Egypt. It's symbolic of Egypt. There's another meaning other than the woman, Rahab, that we often refer to. But this is speaking of Egypt. And, you know, a sea monster was also symbolic of Egypt. So this is what this verse is all about here, verse 10. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. And, you know, it wasn't just Rahab or Egypt that, you know, God took care of, but all the enemies that would come against his people when his people were faithful and living in, you know, in God's ways. God would take care of the enemies left and right. Amen. But he goes on to say in verse 11, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Yes, the Creator, the heavens, it's yours, Lord Jesus. Yeah, the earth, it's yours. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name, all these places. Oh, yes, perhaps mountainous places. Some think that Hermon might possibly be the place that Jesus was transfigured. But, you know, those places that Jesus would have connections with when he came to this world is the Son of Man, is the Son of God. You know, Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Oh, yes. Oh, they rejoiced. Those that received Jesus had to rejoice. Oh, yes, that there was one that had come to this world. Oh, yes, to save us from our sins. Goes on to say in verse 13, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Oh, this authority is power high. Oh, there could be none higher than the right hand of God, his power, his authority. says in verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitations of thy throne. Oh yes, our God who sits on a throne. Yes, and what are his attributes? Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Oh, that's what God's judgment is all about. It's just, it's righteous, it's right. It says, mercy and truth shall go before thy face. And praise the Lord, yes, when Jesus came to this world, oh yes, God robed in flesh. It was mercy and truth that had come to this world, going before the face of his people to declare the way. Oh yes, to make his way known. Yes, to bring forth that highway of holiness. It says in verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Oh yes, those that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, as it tells us in the first chapter of John. Oh yes, what a glorious thing to realize. Oh, that God had put on flesh to come and save us in all that joyful sound. Oh, that joyful sound that our sins, which were many, are forgiven. Oh, yes, that we can be redeemed. Oh, yes, that we can be bought back. You know, that we don't have to live in our sins. Oh, that a condemnation that was upon our head. But, oh, yes, there is one that came. Oh, yes, to save us, to make a way for us. And oh, what a joyful sound that is, that sound. Oh, that Jesus has come into the world to seek and to save those that were lost. That joyful sound of his salvation. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Oh yes, we're not alone here. We're walking in the light of Jesus Christ. That light, you know, that he shed, that he gave to us. You know, he came as the light of the world. But praise the Lord, he didn't just come as the light of the world. He put his light in his people. Oh yes, so that we might reflect his image, that we might become his sons and daughters and walk in the light. If we're walking in the light, we're going to know the way to go. We're not going to be misled. We're not going to be confused. If we're walking in the light of his countenance, that straight and narrow way that he has set before us, you know, oh, we're going to get there. We're going to get home if we're walking in the light, you know. It's when, you know, we kind of go to the right or the left and you know, go towards the shady parts, the dark parts, you know. Oh, yeah, you're going to get in trouble. But, oh, let's keep on walking, yes. That straight and narrow way that he has given us to walk in. Amen. But oh, it is, what a blessing to know that joyful sound. Oh yes, Jesus has come. Jesus saves. Jesus delivers. He sets free, you know. Oh, he gives us the Holy Ghost, all those wonderful things. He forgives us our trespasses and cleanses us, oh, from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 16, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. Oh yeah, we know the power. Oh, in that same name of Jesus. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Oh, knowing that it's not our own righteousness. Oh, that old stuff that, you know, is as a filthy rags. It couldn't be anything that we had done or could ever do, but his righteousness. Oh, in thy righteousness shall they be exalted, oh, walking in his righteousness. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Oh, you know, it's nothing of ourself. You know, it's in his, you know, he's the glory of our strength. Anything that we do, any favor that we have, it's because of him. It's because he came, oh yes, to redeem us. And as it says in that 15th chapter of John, Jesus said in verse 4, John 15, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You mean a way that we could abide in him. He puts his spirit in us so that, yes, we can be clothed with his righteousness, that we can be inhabited by his spirit. We can abide in him. And then verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same forth bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Oh, yeah, if we stay in the vine, if we abide in Jesus Christ, we will bring forth much fruit. But without him, we can do nothing. And we know that if a man does not abide in him, if a man abide not in me, he says in verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But praise the Lord, he has given us something to glory in. He's given us strength that isn't our own. We can glory in his strength. And he gives us his favor. You know, anything that's of a blessing is because of him and what he has done. Oh, the fact that he called us. Oh, it gave us this wonderful hope of life everlasting. Then it goes on to say, for the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Oh, he knows how to take care of all the aspects. You know, he knows how to defend us. He knows how to keep us. He knows how to give us a sanctuary, a place to dwell. You know, he knows how to hide us from the storms, the raging waves, and everything else that might try to overwhelm us. He is our defense. Oh, yes, in the midst of trouble, he is there, yes. Oh, yes, to keep us. Oh, yes, to lead us. Oh, to guide us and to hide us, whatever all is necessary. The Holy One of Israel is our King. Oh, you're the one that we serve, the one we submit to, the one we bow to. Oh, yes, he is our King. And we know that day is coming when every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Then verse 19 says here, Psalms 89, then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. All because God was going to give him favor. God was going to keep him. God was going to go before him. David had been anointed with that holy oil. Oh, yes, and his hand had been established. His arm had been strengthened. And it was all God's doings. It was all because of God. You know, Saul was king before him. And, you know, God let him go. God didn't keep Saul. You know, there were things in Saul's life that God couldn't bear. And you know, the kingdom was taken from Saul, wasn't it? You know, he wasn't allowed to stay in that position, or his ancestry, his sons to continue after him. But God had promised that he would be with David, his servant. We know that David was called a man after his own heart. He had been anointed with oil, and God had established him. His arm had strengthened him. He said the enemy's not going to exact upon him. Oh, they weren't going to get the best of him by any means. The son of wickedness was going to be able to prevail over him. And he said in verse 23, he's going to beat down his foes. Oh, David had foes. He had a lot of enemies that would rise up before his face. But God was going to beat them down, and he was going to plague them that hate him. God promised that his faithfulness and his mercy shall be with him. Verse 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Oh, that wonderful Spirit of the living God. Oh, yes, that gives us favor. Oh, yes, that no good thing that he will withhold from them that walk uprightly, as it tells us in Psalms 84, verse 11. And then it goes on to say in verse 25, I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. God was going to give him dominion. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Oh, yes, that prophecy, oh yes, that came forth, God was going to establish him, that he was going to establish his seed forever, and as it was fulfilled, and is still being fulfilled, as God is still bringing forth his righteous seed. It's not yet complete, but oh yes, it has begun. And verse 27 says, Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. And here I do believe this utterance is talking about that which pertained to David's seed, that which we read of in Acts 2, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ indeed was the firstborn. Oh yes, as it tells us in Hebrews, the first chapter. Verse 5, For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And verse 6, And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. Oh yes, he brought his first begotten into the world. Tells us in the 13th chapter of Acts, to go there quickly. As Paul is speaking there in Antioch, in Pisidia. In verse 16, Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. I think we're kind of reading some of that. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. Oh, he suffered their manners, all right, in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. Finally, they got into Canaan land, or Shandon, as it's here spelled. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And verse 23 explains, Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Oh, yes, that wonderful seed that came forth. Jesus Christ, that promised one that came forth to redeem Israel. And I do believe this is what this reference is here in verse 27 in Psalms 89. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Oh, that second Psalm brings that out so clearly. Oh boy. Their attempt, oh yes, to bring on their own. They're the kings of the earth, the rulers that take counsel against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords for us. Oh, it says, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Mary makes reference, oh yes, to the decree that he had made. In verse 7, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. Oh yes, when he brought his first begotten into the world, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Oh, I tell you what, it's wisdom to make peace with the Son of Man. Oh, yes, the Son of God. It's wisdom because, yes, that day is coming when, oh, yes, he's going to come forth, oh, to claim his own. And, yes, he's going to use his rod of iron to dash them that have been disobedient into pieces like a potter's vessel. There's going to be nothing left. It's going to break them in pieces. Oh, yes, he says, be wise now, therefore, all ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So he goes on to say in verse 28 here in Psalms 89, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore. And my covenant shall stand fast with him. And that covenant that he was going to bring forth, and oh, there's so much that could be brought out, but it's an everlasting covenant. And you know, it tells us in verse 29, his seed also will I make to endure forever, his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. And you know, we know you're to go into that third chapter of Galatians. We would know that as a people of God, we are the seed of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, he came unto his own. You know, he was as one forsaken there when he came into the world. And it was as if his days were cut off. And, you know, he had no natural sons or daughters, did he, at all? But there was something that Jesus Christ saw beyond the works of the flesh. Oh, there, you know, I'm sure on the cross, I believe in Gethsemane, Jesus saw. And he knew what was going to come forth because of his sacrifice for sin. Oh, that beautiful portion of scripture in Isaiah 53, where it says in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Oh, that is what Jesus Christ saw on the cross. Oh, he knew that there was going to be a people that would come forth, both Jews and Gentiles. It was all going to be one body, a people that he would bring forth, as, oh yes, the book of Galatians in other places clearly explains. But, oh yes, God allowed his soul to be made an offering for sin. But he saw there on the cross his seed, all those that he would redeem, his sons and his daughters that we'd bring forth. And he knew, even though he was cut off from the land of the living, oh yes, after only 3.5 years, you know, who would think, what's going to become of this man? There he's on the cross, hanging between heaven and earth. What's going to become of him? You know, the devil thought he had gained advantage. It was all going to be over. But it wasn't. It wasn't because there on the cross as Jesus was dying. Oh yes, he was bringing forth a people. Oh, he was bringing forth a people that he foreknew, a people that he saw from the beginning of time, that he knew that would bow their knees to him. Oh yes, that would give their hearts to him. Oh yes, a people, yes, that would acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. He saw his seed. And he knew, oh yes, his days would be prolonged. Oh yes, because we become his ambassadors. We become his missionaries. We become his people. Oh yes. Oh, he told, he commissioned his people, those that followed him, oh yes, to go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Oh yes, and if they drink any a deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Oh yes, they shall take up serpents. All of that, in other words, they shall take up unclean spirits by the authority that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be saved. Yes, the Lord has promised that he would heal us. Oh yes, these signs would follow us. You know, he shall prolong his days. He commissioned his disciples to continue his ministry. And here we are down at the end of time. Oh yes, serving him that is faithful and true. And knowing, oh yes, that we are doing the will of our Father which is in heaven. If we are, oh yes, ministering those things that he has put in our heart. Yes, if we are a witness to the gospel. Oh yes, if we are going forth, bearing the good word. Oh yes, that glorious gospel. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It says here in Isaiah 53, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, we were so without hope. We were out there doing our own things, thinking we were having a good old time. But, oh, praise the Lord, there was one that caught our attention. And he began to call us. Oh, praise the Lord. And I thank God for that day when, oh, we gave heed to that call. Oh, yes, when we begin to see our need to repent and turn our life over to the Lord. When we begin to hear that still small voice and listen to him. Oh, praise the Lord. God knew that there would be a people that would come forth. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, that's what he was doing on the cross. He was taking those heavy, ugly, dirty sins, those things that God loathed, those things that he could not bear, those things that we did. We were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. But, oh, praise the Lord, he was shedding his blood because he knew that blood would atone for our sins. That blood would make it possible for us to come to him in faith and to believe. Oh, yes, and to surrender our will, to repent, to turn our lives over to him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, to believe the good news. Oh, yes, to obey him in the waters of baptism. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And yes, his gracious bestowing upon us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, our wonderful God who has done all these things. Oh, our righteous God, our faithful and true God. Oh, we can sing of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, we can sing of his mercies. We can make it known. Oh, yes, because he has done so much. Oh, it tells us in Isaiah 25. You know, I love this whole chapter, but I don't think I'm going to have time to do the whole chapter. But, you know, that first verse here in Isaiah 25. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. O, this righteous God, our faithful and true one. For thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nation shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. And I believe, oh yes, he's talking about the very end scenario when he comes, oh yes, to redeem his people. Oh yes, and to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, that strength that he's been to the poor, that strength to the needy, oh, in distress, our times of need. Where else could we go? We go to the Lord, you know, that's the strong tower that the righteous run into and are safe. We go there. He's our strength. He's our song. Oh, when we're, yes, a poor and needy, and oh, all that, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. And the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. And here it sounds like it could be talking about a nuclear blast. And I don't know if that's going to be the end scenario when this earth is destroyed, if man is going to be taken in his own devices, if that is, you know, the way God is going to allow it. But it says, then shalt thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers. Oh, those that are not gods. Going to bring it down as the heat in a dry place. Even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. Oh, yeah, those nuclear heads that form a shadow as they rise to do their dirty work. The branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. Oh, God's going to bring it down. Those that have defiled him. Oh, those that, you know, have been nasty. Oh, that have not acknowledged him. Oh, yes, that have done terrible and dreadful things. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines and the lees, of fat things, full of marrow, of wines and the lees, well refined. Oh, it's going to, oh boy, he's going to take over. It's all going to end, you know, and oh, it's going to be finished. It says in verse 7, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Oh, I'll tell you what, all at once, you know, it's just as Revelation, that first chapter, verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. All at once, that veil that was on their face so they could see and understand it's going to be taken off. And they're going to suddenly know it's going to be taken off so that all will know that covering that is cast over all people is going to be taken off. That veil that is spread over their faces, over the nations, is going to be removed. And they're going to know at that point who he is. And praise the Lord, you know, those that are in Christ, oh, we have such wonderful promises. It says in verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Oh, how things will change at that moment. Oh, that moment, oh yes, when all things are put under his footsteps. All under him, under his feet. At that point, you know, he's going to swallow up death in victory. All tears are going to be wiped away from off all faces, and the rebuke of people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And here it is, you know, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, such a contrast there. Oh, those that, you know, are not in Christ. Oh, yes, who have ignored Him, who have, you know, deflamed Him in so many ways and you know, done and spoken nasty things, who, oh, deny the Lord. But for His people, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Tells us in Revelation, the 21st chapter, John, as he saw this, said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Oh, yes, He's coming. Oh, yes, He's coming for His people. Describes it in the 19th chapter of Revelation. Oh, yes, as John saw the heaven open, and behold, there was a white horse that came forth, and he that sat upon him, that white horse, was called Faithful and True. Oh, that one in whom we can put our trust. Oh, that one that we can count on, that one who is unshakable, that one who is true, who is faithful, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. Oh, here He's coming. Here He's coming. He's coming in righteousness. He comes to judge. He comes to make war with those that are odds against Him, those who are enmity against Him. And oh, it describes Him. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, here He's coming, and His people, those that are already in heaven, God is bringing them with Him as He comes back to this world. And of course, the rest of us are going to be gathered together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord of the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Here He's coming with His armies, and all those that are with the Lord on the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. But oh yes, the righteous one whose name is Faithful and True. Oh yes, it tells us in Revelation 21, again, John was told to write these words, all these happenstances that are yet to be, and saying these words are true and faithful. And it was said, it says in verse 6, "And he said unto me, It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Oh, that's not a happy occasion at all for those. But praise the Lord, God has reserved for himself a people that will follow him until the end. A people that will be faithful, that will endure hard tests and trials. It is said here in the second chapter of Revelation is the church that was in Smyrna was being addressed. It says in verse 8 here, Revelation 2, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Oh, you could say a lot about that, couldn't we? Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Oh, just as he that is faithful and true is coming for his people, he exhorts us to be faithful unto death. Yes, to endure unto the end. For there is a crown of life that waits for his people. Oh, yes, there's a crown of life that's reserved for those that love his appearing. Oh, yes, those that have been called, those that have been chosen, those that are faithful. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, our righteous judge, he whose counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Oh, praise the Lord. He is coming. He is coming. He's coming on that white horse. He's coming to redeem his people. He that is faithful and true. Oh, praise the Lord, how I want to be. Oh, in that number, yes, to be received. Oh, yes, I want to be in that number. I pray that you do too. Otherwise, make haste. Oh, yes, to get right with the Lord. Make haste, oh, yes, so you could be in his number among his people. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Talk to us, Lord. Move in us. Change us. Oh, God, make us what we ought to be in you, Lord. Help us, oh, Lord, to withstand, oh, Lord, the trials and the tribulation of this world. Help us to be faithful unto death, Lord. Oh, God, so we can receive that crown of righteousness. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Faithful and true. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I find myself amazed sometimes how things work out. When I was picking out the songs tonight that we were going to sing before the service, just so people know, we don't coordinate at all, Mom and I, and I don't know what she's going to be speaking about, but I just find it amazing that a lot of those choruses tied in so well to the message tonight. In fact, it was interesting because I was writing down the songs that I was picking out. Sometimes I don't pick any out, but tonight I did. I just written down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And then she started playing it on the piano right after that. And it's kind of amazing how things work out. But we're going to sing one more song before we close this out tonight. We're going to open our hymnals to number 216 and sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Praise the Lord. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.